Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Probably to most of you, this is a very, very common, well-known verse. But let's just stand as we read from God's Word. Philippians 4, we're going to read 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray as we start. Father, we thank you so much that you do tell us to not worry about things. And Lord, I thank you that we can know that you take care of things for us. You've taken care of thousands of things for us we didn't even know you did. So thank you for that, Lord. Now we just ask, as we look at this lesson today, help us all to understand that you can take like these few verses on that one page, and we can make a message out of it, but we can also make a good study out of it. So thank you for this privilege to do this today and help each one of us to glean something from this to apply to our lives. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Most Baptist churches I've been in, when you say amen, that means you can sit down. All right. Well, we're going to look at this. It's almost like a Sunday school lesson this morning, so to speak, preaching time. But it's good, I think it's real good, to learn that you can take any verse you want, any two or three verse, whatever, and you can study it and learn from it. There's nothing in the Bible that's a secret. Nothing's a secret. Yeah. And there's nothing new in the Bible. Yeah. Now, maybe new to you and new to me, but it's not new words in the Bible. There's no such thing. The Bible hasn't changed. So if somebody tells you I found something new in the Bible, you need to ask them, you mean new to you?
That's right.
You know, because there is nothing new in my Bible. And there may be a lot of perversions out there, but they use things. They try to make them new, but I'm still old-fashioned. I still think if you want to learn, you can study your King James Bible, and you can learn all God wants you to learn right out of the King James.
Amen.
I used to have a computer program on my computer. You could cascade 6 different versions on a screen. I never used it once. My King James is more than good enough.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for that. All right, it says here, be careful for nothing. That word there, today I would rather use the word worry. But don't be careful for nothing. Don't worry about things. Don't worry. Quit being a worrywart. God's got it in control. God's got it. He just wants you and me to admit that He knows better than us. You know, God's got it. Don't worry about things. You know, I know when you've got children, we've raised our share. We've had 3 of our own, but we also had 17 foster kids. We've had 9 different foreign exchange students. So we somewhat a little bit understand teenagers, okay? A little bit. All those were all teenagers. But you want to be sure what you're doing is right and teach your kids right, but you can't live worrying about everything. You know, just worrying about your car, worrying about your job, worrying about your children, worrying about whatever. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. So learn to not be such a worrywart. Now, if you're, I guess I'm what they call an A personality. I have a tendency to want to worry about everything. And I have to work on that. You know, if things don't go my way, then something's wrong. That's kind of like, I don't care if you disagree. If you want to disagree, agree with me, that's fine. You can be wrong if you want to. Okay. But don't worry about things. And if we, instead of worrying about it, if we pray to God about it, we'd be a whole lot better off. We wouldn't have to have some of the issues we have. So it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now, we all know what prayer is, but maybe sometimes we need to understand a little bit. Am I on this morning?
No.
Okay. Last time I had it on mute the whole time. It says in supplication. You know, God wants you. He wants you to bring to Him your needs and wants. He is waiting for you to pray to Him. He wants you to bring those things to Him. He wants to hear from you. God wants you to bring your supplication, bring your request known to Him. Make them known to Him. He already knows what you need, but He wants to know you're in concert with Him, that what you want is in within His will. Mm-hmm. He wants to hear from you. You know, it's just kind of like, who's your best friend? Is your best friend somebody that you talk to occasionally, or somebody you meet here at church and talk a little bit? That's your best friend? Not really. They may be a church friend, they may be a friend, but it's not your best friend. Your best friend is somebody you talk to a lot, that knows all about you and still accepts you for being you, whoever you are. And that's your best friend. Well, how can you be best friends with God if you don't talk to Him a lot? You got to listen to Him. Talk to Him. He wants to hear from us. Don't ever think this is such a little thing God doesn't care. You know what? Even if it's just, you know, how long would this candle burn? Well, that may be important to somebody. But just the fact that you're saying, God, I need you involved in this. My heart is in line with you. I want you involved. So when you're asking for things, you need to understand that He wants to hear from you. And He wants to work with you. He wants to help you. And then if we'll do a simple little thing. Now some of us, especially us with A personality, we like to talk. And boy, my wife has a double A personality. Oh, that's mean. Oh, well. She's been with him 48 years now, so I guess that's all right. Truth being, I probably talk as much as she does. But I won't pick on me. But God does want to hear from you. Don't ever think, no matter how small the issue is, no matter how small it is, the fact that you're talking to Him is what makes Him happy. You're talking to Him. You've got to make Him happy. So, you know, and your best friend, you don't get your best friend just by saying, hi, see you another day. You know, God is to be your best friend. The triune God should be your absolute, definite, positive, unquestionable best friend. Amen. That's who should be. You should talk to Him more than you talk to others. You should. We should. I should. So spend time with Him. Show Him that love. Show Him you care. So don't worry. Pray our prayers and the supplication. And then here is a key, I think, a key that some of us need to really understand. We are to pray with thanksgiving, not wait for it to happen. But Lord, I pray that You're going to heal me from this issue. Thank God. Thank You, Lord, You're going to heal me. Thank Him ahead of time. Pray with thanksgiving. Do you believe He's going to do what You're asking to do? Well, if you do, thank Him for doing it. You know, we need to pray with thanksgiving. If you're praying a prayer that you don't expect Him to answer, then don't pray that prayer. You know, if you're asking something that's not in His will, then don't even bring up that prayer. But learn to pray with thanksgiving. You know, that is so important. And how many of us do that all the time? You know, if you want to... What's your name, high schooler? What's your name?
Ben.
Okay. Ben, it's okay to ask if you study like you should. I don't know why I just pick on you today. If you pray like you should, or you study like you should, it's certainly not wrong to pray, God help me. And you know, if you're working in a job where you want a promotion, I don't think it's wrong. You know, God, would You help me get that promotion? If you want, I mean, I'll do everything I can, but help me, Lord, to get that. And thank You, Lord, for doing it. Now, He may not want you to get that promotion. Okay? He may have other things in mind. And we need to understand that. When I was in the Army, when I was in Germany, I typed court-martials. I didn't get one, but I typed them. That's a long, tedious thing. I mean, one mistake anywhere on four pages. You had to tear it out, take it out, tear it up, put it away, and go back, start from the beginning. We didn't have whiteout. We couldn't use that. We didn't have the computer, so you can go back and change it. Well, I got tired of that, and I wanted a different job, and I kept praying about it. The Lord wouldn't give me a different job. Well, I got rather stupid. I went down to the recruiter's office, and I volunteered to go to Vietnam. And guess what? I got to go to Vietnam. But I changed jobs. I might have been better off. I wouldn't have had the cancer and everything else if I hadn't have done that. But see, I got ahead of the Lord. So don't get ahead of Him. Just trust Him. Pray with thanksgiving. Ask, tell Him what you need. And look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Look at Matthew chapter 6. I think God tells us things more than once to get our attention, get us to listen to Him, to help us to understand. You know, He puts it in there more than once. Maybe we'll see it the second time, we'll understand it the second time or the third time. I think that's why He puts stuff in the Bible for us that way. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." In other words, don't worry. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet will your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? He said, he just reminds again, don't worry about things. Don't worry. Now, I understand, you know, and you got a pastor that's rather sickly right now, you know, he understands that. He knows that. He's got other people coming to preach for a reason. You know, what it is, you may not understand that exactly. But pray each week that whoever's going to be here will give it. And I believe, of course, you've got pretty control of who comes here. But at least, you know, pray that whoever comes will preach a message that would just get us excited. Love the Lord even more. Hear that message and make us want to walk closer to the Lord. Love the Lord more, whatever it takes. But don't worry about it. Don't worry that you're going to have somebody. Now, you stuck with me all day today. So you got me tonight, too. But sometimes you have one preacher in the morning, one at night. Hey, praise the Lord. I love to listen to different people preach. I love that. When I was pastoring, we had the Bible College kids come with their music groups. And I would always ask them, if one of your boys is a preacher boy, let one of your guys do the preaching. I love to hear a college student preach. I'd love to hear a high schooler preach. You know. Well, this is pick on Ben, isn't it? But you know, I like it even, like in our church, we got little kids at 11, 12, 13 years old that will preach a message once in a while. And I love to hear that. Because you know what? No matter how inept the person preaching might be, no matter what you think of that person, if you'll listen, with an intent to learn. You can learn something from a 5-year-old preaching. You can learn something from a 25-year-old preaching. You can learn from an old pastor preaching. So really, think about that. Always bathe all that in prayer. You know somebody's going to preach we got one boy, I think Jaden, I think is what, 12 or 13? He's got a heart for the Lord. Now his preaching isn't very smooth and flowing. Well, I never learned to be a smooth flowing preacher either, so who cares, you know? But if you listen, you can learn. Anytime somebody opens up the Bible and tells you something from the Bible, it's good for you. I don't care what age they are, it's good for us. So don't, you know, just think about that when somebody else is coming. Be in prayer for whoever is coming, like next Sunday morning, next Sunday night, whatever. That God would help you to listen, help you to hear what He's saying, and help you to learn something you can apply to your life. Oh, that's so important. First Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 17. When I've learned to think of Thessalonians, T-H comes before T-I. So if you get to Timothy, you've gone too far. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Oh, no, that didn't. 4:17, it doesn't read right. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You cannot pray too much. No way you can pray too much. The Bible here tells me, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You cannot pray too much. God wants your prayers. So just think about those are things you'll talk with God. Now, listen to God. John chapter 17:17. John 17:17. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. This is Jesus speaking here. You know, sanctify them through. You know, help people become set apart. You know, young people, especially you get into high school age or even grade school anymore, but little kids, you got to be careful who your kids are running with. You got to be real careful. You got to watch who they're running with. You can't let them run and be best of friends with somebody that's not walking a Christian life. If you want your child to grow up and follow walking Christian life. Now, my boys didn't like that when we tell them, you know, they started running around somebody we knew was trouble. We tell them, you can't run with him anymore, period. And our boys didn't like that. It was for their own good. You know, there's things that God lets us go through we don't like, but it's for our own good. You know, just so just make sure that listen to God. How many of us, period, will ask Him to do something and then we wait until we can hear from Him to know exactly what to do? How many of us listen to Him all the time when we ask Him something? And I'm guilty as much as I think most any of you are. Listen to God. Let Him speak to you in that still, small, quiet voice. Now, I would love to have a burning bush to listen to. I'd love to see that burning bush that doesn't consume. Oh, man, I'd love to see that. But God doesn't choose to do it that way today. But He will talk with you if you'll listen. So pray and listen to God. And then, of course, we need to trust Him. You know, how many of you have ever had, you don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever had somebody in your life that you put your trust in and then they let you down? Probably every single one of us has trusted somebody that let them down, right? Well, I know one you can trust in that will not ever let you down.
Amen.
You know, that is so important. Matthew 15. Let's go there. 15, starting verse 21. And I purposely don't turn ahead of time. That way it takes me time to find it and gives you time. Matthew 15, starting verse 21. And Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord! Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. He answered her not a word. But His disciples came beside Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, I am not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, what can we learn from this? First thing is, my understanding, what I've read and studied, this was the first time Jesus had left the area of authority He was under. He went outside of that. And because, you know, can you imagine what gets me? And you think about today, too. All the priests of that day, we'll go away from this for a second, but the priests of that day were the ones calling for Jesus to be crucified. The religious leaders. Okay? They were being so tough on Jesus, He finally decided to leave the area where He was and move on a little ways out. And then as He got there, this lady comes up and starts walking behind Him and crying out to Him. I'm sure she said other things than what's recorded. But Jesus heard her. He didn't respond immediately. Well, how many times do you pray and God doesn't answer immediately to you in your prayers? So think about that as we read this story. He didn't respond immediately. But the word here, if you look at the word children here, actually means He's addressing the Jews. Okay? He is addressing the Jews. Not the Gentiles, but the Jews. And this lady, and Jews just did not like Gentiles. Gentiles are like dogs. You know, you're a dog. You know, get away from me. You know, he wasn't. And she used that term dogs. Now, I was talking to Pastor a little bit ago, and we both decided, maybe, I guess we did, that, you know, in this passage, dogs could be the way Jews are preaching or talking to Gentiles. They're a bunch of dogs. They're nobody. But it could mean a little four-legged creature, too. But it, you know, I'm not absolutely positive, but I guess I like to think it was the Jews are calling Gentiles dogs. You know? Well, hey, what about in society today? What about on Capitol Hill? Out in D.C.? What about out there? Some of the senators and congressmen and all that literally treat other people. If they try to witness to the Lord out there, they think of them as dogs. Terrible people. You know, how many schools can you start open up the door or go in your classroom and can you start praying? Oh, you get in trouble. Well, that's how the Jews treated Gentiles then. They didn't want them praying. They didn't even believe you had a right to pray. Well, you know what? You and I have a right to pray. And I think we have a responsibility. I'm not going to get political here. But I think each one of us has a responsibility to be praying for our governmental leaders. We need more Bible-believing people praying for our leaders than what there are. We need, and in fact, in our church, our pastor in the church, he's really, really big on that. So many of our leaders in D.C., don't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord's way. They don't want to know the Lord. They don't want to know the Lord's way. They're making rules where there's one law trying to get passed in Kansas right now that will let anybody go into any restroom, any kind, don't make any difference what sex they are. And that's the law they're trying to pass in our state today. Now, we need to pray that that law doesn't pass. I mean, if my wife's in a restroom and some guy walks up and starts walking through that door, we're going to have a fight on our hands. I'm sorry. You know, I don't care if he is transgender, whatever he might be. That isn't going to fly. But they're trying. The reason I'm saying we need to pray for our leaders is we need more of our leaders in our state to pray for them that they will not pass that law.
Yeah.
We need more of that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to become a politician, but you can sure pray. And you know what? God does answer our prayers. I'm looking forward, and I pray with thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to hearing that bill did not pass. I'm looking forward to hearing that. We don't need that contract. But how can we get excited if we don't pray about it? So be thinking about that. Look at that bill and be thinking about that and pray for our leaders that they'll do what's right. That's not what's right. So be praying. God will control. God is still in control. Some of the things going on in our country, it kind of, in my own human thinking, makes me wonder. But I know God is still in control. And we need to pray. So I know that got off of the path here, but you know, it's not important here what she meant of thinking of them as a four-legged creature or as dogs because they were Gentiles. I've had people in my life that have treated me like they thought I was just about a dog. Because of my faith. And you know what? When I'm done with that, I'm beyond that situation. Well, it's like one day I was knocking doors. I had a young student wanting to go, you know, learning how to knock doors. He's going to Bible college. And I took him out. And the first house we walked up to, I'm still an old-fashioned preacher. I still believe you got to go knocking doors. But walked up that first door. And the lady opened the door. And she says, well, I'm Larry Roos. I'm from Brownlee Baptist Church. Wham! That door about hit me in the face. I don't need your religion. Well, hey, you know what? She treated me like a dog. She wouldn't kick a dog out worse than that. But you know what? We went out. This is the most fun part of this whole story. We went out. We got out to the off her property, out the edge of the sidewalk. I said, now let's knock that dust off our feet and let's go on.
Amen.
And we went on. And before that night was over, we had led two people to come know the Lord. But if we had got frustrated and not trusted God, well, I don't need to be treated like this. I'm going to go home. You know? So what? You witness somebody that don't like it. So what? You gave them the word. Can you imagine? You had a chance to witness somebody and you don't take it and then they die before too awful long. Do you want that person to be in the depths of hell crying out, Larry, Why didn't you witness to me? You want somebody to do that? Like that, the rich man that died, you know, he was begging, crying out for one drop of water for his tongue. I don't know if anybody I dislike enough to want them to have to go to hell. I can't hate anybody that bad. There's a few people I don't care for. But you know what? God still loves them. No matter who they are, God still loves them. And He still wants them to confess their sins. And He's waiting with open arms to accept them. And it's our job to at least give the word to them. Now, I guarantee you, you cannot win everybody you witness to. That doesn't happen. In fact, more often than not, somebody has to be witnessed to two, three, four times before it finally sinks in. But you've got to plant the first seed. You've got to plant that seed to start with. Water that seed with your prayers. You know, just... So anyway, so she was treating him like a dog, but the Lord reasoned with her. And I like the fact she wasn't arguing with Jesus, but she was reasoning with Him. I'd love to be up in heaven right now and be able to reason with Jesus, be able to talk with Him. Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to my day when I get to do that. Looking forward to that day. But that's so important. But she knew who Jesus was. She believed in Jesus. Even though she was a Gentile, she believed the truth. And guess what? Her faith in Christ got her daughter healed. Her faith in Christ got her daughter healed. How important that is to us. You know, so just... And also I like the fact that Jesus commended her for her faith. It was in verse 28. And Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is thy faith." Great is thy faith. Wouldn't you love to be walk up to Jesus and have Him say, "You, great is your faith." Yeah. Oh, I look forward to that day when I can hear that. I love things my wife says to me, but I'm looking forward to the day I can hear Jesus talk to me. But great is thy faith. So she didn't give up. She stood out in a crowd of people that didn't like her, didn't want her to be around. Even His disciples were saying, "Let's get rid of her. Get her out of here. Don't like her yelling at you, Lord." But Jesus listened to her. You know, so don't worry if you're that sore thumb in a group. Don't worry about it. Trust God knows what's best. And follow what God says. If you were to walk up to Jesus right now in person, would He? Do you think He would say to you, "Great is your faithfulness"? I would hope and pray that would be. So we need to live by faith. And then the next thing here tells us, we need to tell others about God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 here. The 2 Corinthians comes right after 1 Corinthians. And that'll help. Look at the very first part of what this line tells us here. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." We are ambassadors for Christ. You realize that everything you say, everything you do, every place you go, you're ambassador for Christ. But are you being a good ambassador or not so good ambassador? If you tell people you know the Lord, they watch you and see what you're going to do. They may not have anything to do with God, but they're watching you and they know what you're doing. And I think sometimes even... we may have a death in the family. They may be watching you to see how you respond to your mother dying. You know, are you mad at God because that person died? Are you mad at God because you got fired? Are you mad at God about this? Mad at God about that? You know, it's important for us to be... we are an ambassador for Christ no matter what we think and do. People are watching you. And we need to make sure that our testimony is right so that they, in a sense, can see Jesus through you. Okay? When they look at you, they see somebody worldly or they see somebody that follows God, loves Him according to His word and His way. You're ambassadors. It says here, "Now we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God." Well, you know what? We all sin. We all sin. You good vernacular, ain't none of us good enough not sin. Okay? We all sin. But you know what? God wants to reconcile us from that sin. You know, he is waiting. I believe he is waiting. You sin. You know you sin. Nobody has to tell you. But he's waiting like this. Come on, Larry. I'm waiting on you. Confess that sin to me so I can put my arms around you and love you. He's waiting for us to do that. He'll reconcile us. But you know, he won't do it until we confess it. Till we admit that he is right and I'm wrong. You know, that's the hardest part sometimes. Being humble enough to say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And we might even have to say, Lord, I'm sorry that might have damaged what people think of me. And that could be. You know, so, and not think of me as being a proud, boastful person, but damage your witness. We need to be careful we don't do anything with damage our witness. Now, you can't be a Debbie Do-Gooder all the time. I understand that. We all make mistakes. But we need to confess them to God. Let Him reconcile those sins for us. Bring us back to close fellowship with Him. I'm a firm believer that once you've accepted Christ your Savior, you cannot lose your salvation. My Bible tells me you cannot lose your salvation. But the devil knows he can get you following Him enough to do things he wants you to do, that he can ruin your testimony and ruin your walk with God. He knows he can do that to you. But God, once you are totally, truly saved, born-again believer, you cannot lose your salvation. So even if you've been have sin in your life that you haven't confessed, there's no better time than today to confess that sin. God knows what's in your heart, and He knows you need to confess. And how much better you feel when you do. How much better. Have that sin load just lifted off. You might feel like you're 400 pounds now, but you confess your sins to Him. He lifts that burden off. You might feel like you're only weighing 100 pounds. What a burden that is to get that burden off your shoulders. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6. Circumstances should not control you. Okay? Look here. Paul's in prison. And not because he is a thief or a bad guy. He's a bad guy because of preaching. Yeah. But look at chapter 6 and verse 20. Paul wrote this when he was in prison. For which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, how much trouble you're going through. I mean, all that. You know, Paul was in prison, and yet he wrote parts of the Bible while he was in prison. He didn't go, I feel sorry for himself and moan and groan because he got thrown in prison. I was just representing the Lord and now I'm stuck in this prison. I didn't know what he did. He loved the Lord enough to know that he was thrown in prison because of his faith in God, and he knew God would take care of him. Can you imagine if you were in prison? And I've been in prison a lot. Okay? I better qualify that. When I was pastoring in Corpus Christi, I did a lot of work with the juveniles. And I was in the juvenile jail 2, 3, 4 times a week working with kids, talking with them. So I can... In fact, I had a free pass to jail. After a while, I've got wires from surgery, and I've got a metal knee, and I've got screws and pins in my wrist. Metal detectors don't like me. Now, I set them off every time. But down at that jail there, I went in so often. Finally, one day, the warden, I guess I'd call him, he come out and he says, Mr. Reese, come here. We went outside and I said, oh my, what have I done? You know, we want to go outside to talk. But we went outside and he says, come on. We went around the backside where the police cars come in and out. And he said, from now on, this is where you come in. All you got to push that little button and they'll let you in. Everybody knows you. I'm tired of my people wasting their time having to wand you. Yeah. So I could have walked in with a knife in my pocket if I'd have wanted, but they knew they could trust me. So, but you know, no matter what the circumstances are, you can be an ambassador for God. You can be His ambassador. You may be as broke as a church mouse, but what difference does that make? God does not look. I have never seen a funeral with a Brinks truck following the hearse. You can't take it with you, but you can plant seeds. And people go to heaven, and you've got those people. So plant that seed. Be that ambassador. Don't let your circumstances control you. And I know health can be tough. You know, I've had a bunch of health issues. But that doesn't make any difference. With our health issues, it makes no difference. financial problems, problems with your kids, whatever. God is only interested in what you're going to do for Him and what you're going to do with your life. And you can't be a good ambassador and a good witness for Him if you've got known sin in your life. It just doesn't work that way. And then look at Psalms chapter 62. Psalm chapter 62. And verse 5. Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou upon God. Wait thou only upon God for my expectations from Him. What do you expect in life? If you're following the Lord, you should let Him lead you. You should expect Him to lead you as to what to do. Lead you as to where to go. Lead you as to what to pray about. Our expectations should be in God. Let Him be the one. Don't worry about other things. I put a question here. How much are you and I being patiently waiting on God to show us our next step? You know, I've got some issues going, and in fact, I've got 2 doctor appointments tomorrow and stuff. But you know what? No matter how bad it is, I can still praise God. I can still witness to... You know, it gives me a chance. I would never meet those nurses if it wasn't for that. So I have a chance to witness to the nurses. I have a chance to witness to the doctor. You know, if I wasn't in the hospital, I wouldn't have those opportunities. So it's not that bad a thing I'm in a hospital. You know, just let me do what I'd like to do best. Represent God. The main thing is we need to ask God to lead us. Have Him lead us. And step out and do what God shows you to do. Where is your hope? The hope in the Bible here, the hope is the promise. I hope to be in heaven someday. I have a promise I'll be in heaven someday. I am looking forward to that. I mean, I'm not going to walk out here and step in front of the car and try to get killed today. Don't worry. But yet, I'm ready. If the Lord wants to take me home today, I'm ready. I'm ready yesterday. I'm ready today. I'll be ready tomorrow. You know, you need to live your life in such a way you don't have to say, well, you know, I hope the Lord doesn't come because I still need to witness to so-and-so. Well, hey, wait a minute. Go witness to Him right now then. You know, witness to Him right now. What's holding you back? You know, don't let other things control you. Let God control you. If His directions tell you to go and witness that niece of yours, go witness that niece of yours. Maybe she won't like it. Well, you at least planted the seed. And maybe she'll think about it. And then maybe God can use somebody else to say something to her. And then somebody else, and pretty soon she'll come know the Lord and Savior. You know how important that is. And then, I won't say to use this one here, but be different for God. Yeah. Well, some of us are really different, okay? I didn't hear a big amen out of you. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. Now, you won't hold against me if I finish about 4 or 5 minutes early, will you? I mean, you know, when I'm preaching, I like to preach and teach what the Lord gives me. If I run 20 minutes over, that's fine. If I run 20 minutes early, that's fine. The message God gave me is what's important, not the time. But look at Ephesians chapter 5, starting verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, do you walk in such a way that people can see the light of God through your life? Do you walk in the light? Or you walk in such a way you hope people don't realize you're a Christian? Hope they don't realize I'm going to church Sunday. You know, that's not walking in the light. We should be proud. You should be, not in an egotistical way, but you should be proud to be a believer. You should be proud of that. And, you know, if your children go out for sports and their team wins, Man, you tell everybody, my son won the 100-yard dash, or my son's team won the football game. Why don't you tell people, hey, my God saved my soul. My God saved somebody else's soul. My God did this. My God did that. Why don't we boast about God? Why don't we? Why don't we? What has God done through you, with you? We ought to live as light. Let that light so shine. Let God's light shine through you. And I don't mean it the wrong way, but we need to walk and try to be so right for God that people see Jesus through you. We need to live that way. Not the grumpy old man. I'm getting to be old, okay? We're not supposed to be the grumpy old man, you know. Hey, I don't care how old you are. We go to an assisted living center twice a month at our church. And there's people in there. I think there's one lady that's 106. Another's 103. There's one or two that are 100. Several in their late 90s pushing there. But they come down to every time we're there. They come to church. They love the Lord. They want to be there in the church services. I don't know if I'll live to be 100, but I tell you what, I hope when I get, if I live to be that old, I hope I have the same attitude they do. They want to be there. They want to hear God's Word. What a blessing that is. So just think about that. And I know I'm running just a little bit early. And I don't guess that's not a sin, is it?
Nope.
I don't think that's a sin. But look at verse 16 real quick as I finish here. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Folks, we're living in a world that the days are evil. But we do not have to become part of it. Like we don't need to become part of it. But we need to pray that God would change things and change people. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You that we could just take these few verses and look at them and study them and get all this from them. Lord, I know I haven't even gleaned 20% of what's available through these verses. But I pray that even, as odd as it might sound, that some of the people here might take this sheet home and they study it for themselves. Take this whole Genesis study and look at every verse. I looked at every verse. I picked the ones I thought would be best to use because of time's sake. But ask You to help us all to take these things and read them and study them. And, we're studying. The kids call and say, what you doing? Well, I'm studying the Bible. Can I call you back? Something like that. But help us to learn to read Your Word, study Your Word, walk with You, Lord. Thank You for this time we've had to be able to be with You. We know You're present with us. You tell us we're gathered together, and You tell us You're with us. And I thank You for that. And I thank You that things are opened back up where we can have our churches, have our services together. Oh, how we need each other's fellowship. When times are dark, we need a human to talk to. It's nice to have our church friends and church family. So thank You, Lord, for that. Guide us through our day now. Help us to take what we've heard this morning. I know I'm not an eloquent preacher, never thought I would be, and never have been. But Lord, I do preach and teach Your Word. And that's the most important part. Thank You, Lord, for those who are willing to listen. Guide our path now, please.